TalkZone.com!
A streak of fire, a breath of flame, eluding all who reach and clutch. A gray ghost thrown into the game that rival hands may never touch. A rubber-bounding, blasting soul whose destination is the goal, Red Grange of Illinois by Grantland Rice. For many of us, names like Butkus, Nitschke, and Grange are more than mere players on a field. They represent the history, the glory, and the spirit of a university that has contributed so much to this country and has made our lives rich beyond anything we may offer in return. If Virginia belongs to Jefferson, then surely the land-grant legislation proposed and signed by Abraham Lincoln in 1865 gave birth to his home state university in 1867 and countless other institutions for the people, of the people, and by the people. We are the living legacy of Father Abraham's great institution. Sons and daughters of Illinois, our renaissance, in the words of Ron Gunther, is now. From Chicago, the greatest sports city in America, we are proud to bring you Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G.
Hello, Illini Nation. Boz and Mr. G talking Illini with special guests. We are proud to introduce our friend Lindsay Wilhite from the Daily Herald of suburban Chicago.
Thanks, guys. It's been a lifelong dream to be here in the studio with you. And I can walk out of here happy. I already got the XL size Talking Illini orange,
that's right,
bright orange T-shirt. I'm giddy to be a recipient.
Boz is hand modeling it for us. By the way, should we be referred to as Illini Nation anymore? Are we the Illini diaspora or Illini
that sounds
refugees?
Like a
don't want to live like an Illini refugee.
What does diaspora mean? Diaspora sounds like a pill.
Spread throughout the world.
I was told there would be no Tom Petty today.
No Tom Petty.
Yes.
You can't tell Mr. G anything.
No, that's true.
Just wait for the first movie reference in Chicago White Sox.
Right? I'll be happy. Any White Sox reference we want to throw, that'd be beautiful.
Are you a White Sox guy?
I grew up a Cardinals guy, but when I moved up here, wife's a big Sox fan, family's a big Sox fan. I've
so you sucked
that
up to the wife. That's
there you go.
He's just tall. He's not dumb.
Well, one of the reasons we got Lindsay in here was because about a month ago he was summoned or got the opportunity to go to Indianapolis and spend, what, two, 3 days? Or
we spent 2 days there.
Days with other journalists, I presume, and a couple NCAA reps, was it?
Intense training. We had 18 media, and we had all the NCAA staff that are actually going to be in the room with the committee this week. People like Tom Jernstedt, who's been a part of the committee process since 1973.
Well, he's going to fit right in with Mr. G dropping all these names here.
Well, no one's going to know that name, but this guy did it back in the day where they just used to have a six-hour conference call and decide what the field was going to be, and now it's stretched into almost a six-day thing. I assume most, if not all, of the committee is there now, will be there within a few hours. Tomorrow they will have the initial ballot, and for the next 5 days, they'll be wall-to-wall crazy basketball putting together the field.
All right, well, we'll have plenty of time to see what you learned there throughout the day. In about 10 minutes or so, we're going to be joined by Jimmy Jackson of the Big Ten Network, and later we'll have Mark Silverman, president of the Big Ten Network.
All right, so I'm going to give you my first movie reference. Not worthy. Do you know the movie?
I'm going Wayne's World, part uno.
Yes, and do you remember the scene?
It's either a hockey scene or it has something to
do with the girl
whose name is escaping me.
I actually think it was backstage at the Alice Cooper concert in Milwaukee, where they bow down to Alice Cooper and
okay,
extol his virtues by saying, "We're not worthy."
And on that, we're not going to beat Wisconsin Friday, be a miracle, and therefore we won't be in the NCAA tournament. Even if we do beat Wisconsin, what's your feeling about that?
I guess, as you said, we'll get into this handy-dandy chart that I wasted printer ink on for you guys. We'll get into that later.
What do you mean, wasted?
I'm sorry.
Just because you see me going like this, I can't even read it with my eyes open or closed.
I knew I should have used the bigger font or the paint-by-numbers. I'm with Mr. G on this. You know, I walked in I walked into Assembly Hall Sunday thinking, you give a good performance, regardless of whether you win by five, lose by two, whatever, and I think you've proven once again that you can hang with teams that are going to be definite top four and top five seeds. You go in there and play the way you played on Sunday, when that's already on top of the way you played the previous week against Minnesota. If they had to seed it today, I don't know what self-respecting committee member would go, Illinois, that's a team that needs to be in this tournament to make it the right tournament.
If you had absolute freedom to put any headline you want on your column for the next day, it would have been, Illini shat the bed.
I didn't know we could work that way.
You can work here, a little
bit. We can do here in the talk zone?
Yeah,
okay.
You can work,
in the Herald zone, we're not quite that, that liberal. But,
and that's what I say, if you had the freedom to do
I'm glad you set the tone.
It.
Here we go. All right.
But I just, you know, I cannot believe, because what did Wisconsin have, 18 offensive rebounds in that game?
We were sitting there counting at least three or four times. Defensive rebounds bounced off guys' shoulders, off their heads, off their...
They were just effort plays.
Yeah.
And then there was one near the end of the game where it went off to Illini, and Mike Davis sort of pointed a finger at somebody like, why didn't you get that? You know, I wasn't ready to move for a rebound. You should have had that. And I'm like, Mike Davis... You know, something is going on there that doesn't meet the eye, and I don't know what it is, but taking jumpers with your body facing 180 degrees away from the basket and they're not hook shots does not seem like a recipe for success.
Well, I realize these guys are better athletes and better ball players than we are or we were when we played, but didn't we kind of learn you kind of square your shoulders, you kind of point your feet in the general direction of where you're aiming? You go ahead. I want to hear what you have to say. I know what I think. So.
Well, yeah, I thought it was very interesting what you just said about at least playing a close game Sunday. And even if we would have lost a good tight game like a few weeks before at Purdue, is impressive that we can hang.
Wisconsin, so. And let's make no mistake, Wisconsin is a damn good team. Those five guys... Now that they've got their starting lineup, that's a terrific.
Well,
they're
six when you put in Taylor, who's the guy with the little cakehead haircut with the
Hughes.
One inch Hugh? No, not Hughes. The other guy, the forward who's about 6'7", 6'8".
Nankerville, Lure?
No. Keep going.
Evans.
Evans. That's
okay.
It. Mm-hmm. And, you know, their first six is really good, and Lure was clearly the best player on the floor, I thought. In terms of his pro prospect.
We just sat there and marveled at him.
His
post
footwork.
Up, drive, shoot three. He can score any pull up. He can score any way you want.
He kind of looks
right.
Like a Dirk Nowitzki type of player. There are
like
a lot of things
he
could do.
He looked like a real NBA power forward.
That's an excellent apt. Yeah, that's, I think that's an excellent.
Because you know what, he shoots from the outside. His footwork down low was great too. It really was, and he also was not afraid to body you. He'd put a shoulder into you.
No, I was totally impressed with him. I was trying to look up. I couldn't find it. But right now he, I think, is 6'10", 230. And I'm wondering what he was as a freshman.
You know, that's a great thing.
Because I know he wasn't 230. And it just frustrates me that a guy, you know, Davis, Cole, Tisdale, they might have put on a little weight over the 3 years, but I don't see any strength put on, and I don't see any shoulders getting broadened. And
that's a great point you make, because Bo Ryan said this in the post game, and I didn't pick up on it right away. Paul Klee of the News Gazette did, is that he was talking about Jordan Taylor. And if you saw him, he has, you know, muscles on top of muscles in the shoulders, and he said, and that's yet another good job by our strength coach, as was in more than evidence today, which is indirectly or directly a shot at still a wiry Tisdale at best, a wiry Davis,
yeah.
a skinny Cole.
Tisdale
Lure,
doesn't
Lure
have
was
the frame.
Those size.
Lure, Tisdale doesn't have the width, the frame.
You can't blame him for not being bigger. Yeah. Davis and or Cole should be in that
bigger.
Lure range.
Yeah. Yeah, Lure was the same way as a freshman.
He
so
could
many,
go inside the arc.
Have
he had
you
to shoot
seen,
threes. That's all.
Yeah.
That's
have
how scrawny
you seen
he
Dimitri
was.
McCamey? Block out a single player this year.
Well, he's not close enough to the guy.
No, I'd like to ask the expert journalist that question.
Can I put a thought bubble in my head and specifically see a moment when he has done that? I can't picture that in my head. The thing that bugged me, and I was asking people about that during the game, Do people ever actually watch where a shot is going anymore? Or are you just so? Or you just have to go box and it doesn't matter what you do because there were so many shots that Wisconsin shot
angles.
Short, long. Yet no one seems to play the angles and seems to have a sense of where shots.
Wisconsin
are going.
Did.
Yeah. Oh, Wisconsin did.
And that was what the beauty of Dennis Rodman. That was his genius. That
right.
He understood
well,
the angles
also,
of where the ball was going.
Mm-hmm. Also, when was the last time you saw Davis try to put a body on anybody?
You know, I'm so far past Davis. Because to me, Davis is unsalvageable. If he is a starter on next year's team, I will be shocked.
Well, if Griffey doesn't turn out to be at least physically looking like Lure... In a year
that
or two,
would be a,
then
that's a great.
Then
comp.
Our strength and conditioning guy should be looking down at the local health club
yeah,
for
Griffey
a new
has the
gym.
Body
Griffey
to do
should,
it.
He has because, a little different frame. He should be Lure in a couple of years or something approximating that.
Right.
So
right.
if you guys were coaching Illinois, would you start Billy Cole at the four, put Brandon Paul back in the starting lineup for the Wisconsin game, and take your chances because you're not getting anything out of Davis. What you're getting out of him is actually a negative.
I guess if it wasn't Wisconsin and if Mike Davis wasn't the only one who has a half chance of stopping Lure in the paint, I would consider that. My big hang-up...
We didn't stop anybody in the paint.
Well, no, but at least he has he's the closest thing they have to it. If you want Bill Cole to try to defend him in the post, I don't think that happens.
No, but you put Tisdale on him.
Well, but then you're Nankville. Tisdale, I think, is even worse. There was one... you guys probably saw this... Lure posts up.
Down.
Tisdale gets back down. He overplays his left shoulder. Lure drop steps to his right, puts in a lefty
right.
layup. You know, as,
just great footwork.
Yeah,
great footwork.
I went through him like butter.
My thing is
he was so soft.
One of the things I've harped on recently, and I don't know if it's because Brandon Paul is in the Daily Herald early, and I've paid more attention to him and so on. I think one of the disappointments this year is that Brandon Paul has not either he has not been allowed or has not made himself. Crucial to the effort. It's clear when he's on the floor, he can get on the glass, he can defend people, he can do things, but then he's going to drive to the crazy twice.
We had his mentor, Dickie Simpkins, on, and we really talked about two points. One, Boz and I brought up the fact that he needs to play lower, with a lower center of gravity, both defensively mm-hmm. and offensively. Mm-hmm. And then Dickie made what I thought was a great point, and that is when the game is getting fast, when you've got the ball and you're dribbling to the hoop, you've got to be able to make decisions while the game is moving fast mm-hmm. that involve your teammates. Because right now what's happening with Brandon Paul, he's taking the ball hard to the hole. He's out of control. He has no thought about passing to the wings. And what are they doing? They're converging three guys on him at the rim. And he's not getting the foul calls, and he's not dishing the ball to anybody else, and he's not making the shots. Once he learns how to make those real-time fast decisions where he can put the ball on the floor, be in a low position, get the ball to the wings, people will play him honest. They won't converge. He'll get more scores at the rim, and he'll get more assists and process through.
There was one. My seat at the Illinois games is behind the Illinois bench, so you can pretty much hear whatever the coaches discuss at any given time.
Yeah, we have some questions for you about that a little later.
We can get into that, definitely. There's a play in the first half. Brandon drives. I'm assuming he threw up a crazy shot, whatever he did. And everyone can see that Tisdale is wide open, 15-foot baseline, whatever, just spotting up. He sees it. Everyone in the crowd sees it. The two guys sit next to me see it, and then Weber turns and Tisdale's wide open. He's got Tisdale wide open, and you know, and everyone sees that. And yeah, maybe that you know that's actually a great thing I hadn't thought of. The real life decisions he has to make. But does he have to show those in practice first? If he had played more minutes all the way along, is he better attuned to it? Because it gives you a second guy who can actually create. I mean, there's just so many things.
I think
there's so many possibilities. Nothing against Billy Cole. There's so many possibilities. It opens you up your spectrum more to be a better team.
I think that with experience, those decisions will improve. A lot of it, as we've both been saying, the best thing about freshmen, as Al McGuire once said, is that they become sophomores. But the truth of the matter is that Brandon Paul has not made the mental adjustments this year that he was capable of making. I'm sure the coaching staff talks to him about these kind of things. I'm sure they talk to him about a lower center of gravity, about dishing the ball when people converge on you. He has to do it. He hasn't made those mental adjustments.
Have we overrated this team from the beginning of the year based on talent and age? and thus we're expecting too much, or have they just not developed at a pace that we expected because we have said all along since 05 that one of the strengths of our coach is player development, unlike our football coach.
I think it's twofold. I think people aren't willing to acknowledge that the top four teams in the Big Ten are clearly better, and I think fans just refuse to. Well, it's Wisconsin. How do you lose to Wisconsin? It's Badgers.
So
it's white
painful.
Guys. They're good players. Ohio State and Wisconsin have excellent fives. Michigan State goes 8-9 deep. Purdue has been Purdue for 3 years. So yeah. I think that's half of it. Where we've played with these teams before. Why are we not with them right now? And I do think you walked in the start of the year. You went. You have Mike Davis, second team All Big Ten, regressed. You have McKamey, who has improved. That should be a trade-off. But, yeah, where did we expect too much of the freshman? Apparently.
Well,
did we expect something
out
of Alex Legion? They pumped up Alex Legion again.
I did not have any expectations for Alex Legion.
I didn't either, but, I could never tell whether Bruce genuinely thought there was going to be stuff coming from Legion or else he just felt obligated to continually emphasize the positive because there had been so much he had done so little positive during the season.
Alex Legion was clueless. Anybody could see that he was clueless. He was a one-dimensional player without a dimension.
I'll tell you a story off air about that real quick when we get to a break.
Well, we haven't. I was thinking also watching Senior Day and Keller. We haven't been very successful or lucky with transfers or JC guys either. We'll get into that in a few minutes also, but right now we want to welcome into Talking Illini, former Ohio State great, and he played in the NBA.
Boz, you're never a former Ohio State.
You're always a Ohio
always
State.
A Buckeye.
And you're the Ohio State great, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. A 16-year pro in the NBA, made a lot of stops, a lot of places. He could be a tour guide for during the offseason, I guess. Jim Jackson, say hello to Boz, Mr. G, and we got Lindsey Wilhite from the Daily Herald. Thanks for joining us.
No problem. How's everybody doing?
Well, we're doing okay at best, because we were just saying, at the beginning of the year, we expected our team to be in the NCAA tournament and setting the stage for the next few years when we have good recruiting classes coming in. But we've come up a little short this year, and even a win Friday against Wisconsin, we're not sure that's going to do it for us. So tell us something differently if you think about that.
Guys, I wish I could. to be honest with you, destiny was in the Illini's hands. They put themselves in a great position by beating Purdue and beating Wisconsin up there, beating Michigan State. I mean, they put themselves in great position to do some things, and they let it slip away.
I think you jinxed us a few Sunday nights ago on that on the Big Ten Network show with the stock up and down, and you picked us, and we've gone downhill ever since.
Hey, my portfolio got killed. between Illinois and Minnesota, I was started with $100. I got down like $60,
Do you need a Big Ten bailout from Silverman or somebody?
And I could. I mean, I'm trying to get some of that stimulus money to help me out here. here's the thing. I guess as frustrating as for you, as for us watching, is that the talent and the ability to play and win games is there for the line. But, it goes back to what Bruce Weber talked about from a leadership perspective and who's that guy that everybody can rally around when teams get tough. Who's that person that can get his teammates together and the teammate really believe has the best interest at heart of the team and will lead? And that's why you have the fluctuation in play, the up and down, against Minnesota, it just wasn't there. I mean, you had more enthusiasm, excitement, rah-rahness in the shoot-around than that in the game. And I just couldn't understand.
Jimmy, Mr. G here, how do you coach effort? How do you get your guys ready to lay it all on the line? And why wasn't that effort there when everything was riding on Sunday for this team?
And should you have to coach effort at
this
point in the season?
Well, you should have to coach effort, but you're dealing with young men. who have a lot going on at that age. Okay? So it's much more than just the game of basketball that you got to deal with. You know, 18, 19-year-olds tend to have a lot of things going on emotionally, dealing with school. So in order to be able to motivate those kind of guys, each person is different. And that's why some of the best coaches are coaches other than X's and O's. It's how to motivate and get their team focused and ready to play all the time. Now, again, it goes back to the individual you recruit as well, because you have to understand the kind of guy, just like you guys there at the radio station or any kind of business, whoever you bring in to run your product, you got to feel comfortable that if you implement a plan, that these are the people that can implement that and carry it on and make it successful. And at the end of the day, it's the people business. Okay? And that's what basketball is as well. You think about it, yeah, it's a game and people can score, but it's so much more than just ability that it takes for a team to be successful.
We as fans and writers, you know, at this time of year, you can just kind of feel the crescendo. You can feel the season coming to a big rush, a big finish. Do players feel that as well, or like you said, it might be midterms coming, or you got girlfriend problems or something? Do players sense that as well, or is this somewhat explanatory that the team wouldn't be rushing to finish strong against a Minnesota at home, against a Wisconsin at home, and so on?
Well, it depends on the makeup of the team, guys. I mean, because if you're in it for winning and trying to win championships, then it all matters. You know, the beginning of the year has a great significance, because how you start is how you're going to be viewed upon, and those early games are very important. When you get into Big Ten play or your conference play, it's very important that you're in the upper tier of the conference for seeding, for NCAA possibilities, and how you end the season. And that, if you're in it to win and that's your objective, then all that matters. But if it doesn't really matter to you, then, you know, ending the season the right way doesn't have that significance.
So, Jimmy, you're coaching the Illini. There's 5 minutes left in the game. Your season's on the brink, and your star player comes off the court and gives you a little shoulder. What do you do to him?
I sit his ass down. He was my friend.
Well, that's okay. This is internet radio. You can go blue
right
here. But
I sit him down.
And would he have seen the court the rest of the game?
You know what? And that's a tough situation. Me, probably, yeah. And it's easier for me to say, because my job is not on the line right now. Okay? But in that situation, Dimitri has to understand he took a terrible shot by throwing up the air ball off balance when it was a critical possession.
And then he turned it over on the next possession.
Critical turnover, but not just the turnover. You committed a flagrant foul, intentional foul. Okay? So it's three things you've done in a less than a 30, 45-second span that cost our team. And you want to get mad at me.
Mm-hmm. There were three mental errors, too, which physical errors I'll always forgive. Mental breakdowns, you never forgive.
Exactly. And, you know, through the course of the game, again, young men, you're going to make those mistakes. And coaches can deal with errors in judgment or turnovers when you were trying to do the right thing. Coaches can deal with that. Just the unforced turnovers is the lack of judgment, the lack of thinking about what is going on that killed coaches. And in that situation, you know, I would have been very frustrated. And, you know, I don't know what I would have done in that situation.
Well,
again, it's a history there. So Bruce Weber has a better handle than it does on me when you ask that question on one play. I mean, on one scenario during the game. You know what I mean?
Well, ultimately, it's the leadership void that really has been the downfall of this team, and that was never more evident or on stage as it was in that particular moment during the Wisconsin game.
Well, I mean, and sometimes, guys, your best leaders are not always your best players. I thought just Chester Frazier last year commanded respect from his team.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't your best offensive player, but he was your best defensive player. He was your vocal guy, and he backed it up by how hard he played. So the rest of the team respected him, because when he said something about, we need to shut somebody down, he meant it, and he went out and did it. And they don't have that kind of person that I think genuinely the other 11 players, 12 players, think is sincere.
I think Dominique Keller, the senior who almost never plays anymore, might be the closest thing to that. But, yeah, it's kind of hard to be that leader when you're getting 5, 10 minutes a game, is it not?
Well, it is and it isn't. It is because you're not on the court when it counts. So it's a lot tougher. You know, and that's why leadership, you know, people say it's overrated, but it's not, because leadership can mask a lot of errors that you have as an individual and as a team.
Jimmy, you used the term people business a couple minutes ago, and I'm wondering if throughout the year you might have sensed a little disconnect between the Illini players and coaching staff, a little lack of proper chemistry, you know, maybe compared to the teams above them, compared to Ohio State and Purdue and Wisconsin and Michigan State. Any feeling about that?
Yeah, and it's a little tougher, too, if you think about it. Think about Ohio State. The players have been together for a few years and really gel. I mean, similar to Illinois, if you look at McKamey, Keller, Davis, Tisdale, okay? But Purdue, 5 starters on their team have been together since they were freshmen, and they gel together, and they're all on the same page. Michigan State, they're on the same page. Wisconsin, you know they're on the same page from day one. Illinois is not that kind of group. Mike Davis has his, you know, goes through his ups and downs. His body language indicates one thing, and that filters down to Tisdale. McKamey is the same way. You got 2 young freshmen trying to integrate, trying to get a sense and feel where they fit in at, and it affects them. So you have 5 guys on the court that are all different. And that's okay if they're different, but they're not even on the same page. They're not, you can tell in their body language. You can tell how they communicate with each other. These are the little things that make up how great teams are. And again, guys, you know this by being around basketball a long time.
You know, I almost think that this team could be better off next year, and I know it's heresy to say that, without McKamey on the team. And I think other guys are going to grow up, and other guys are going to feel like they can do things that they couldn't do with him on the court. And guys like Richardson and Paul may be emerging as leaders and won't do that as long as he's still on the court with them.
Well, I mean, we've heard that conversation before, and I don't know if that's is right or wrong, but I think Mitch McKamey, if he could focus his efforts the right way like he did when he came off the bench and he went through that stretch where he was really playing well. I mean, the game against Wisconsin, he was just incredible. And it wasn't the point for me. It was the playmaking and decision-making that he showed during the course of the game. You know, really a maturity in that game, and the team followed him. And I expected that for the rest of the season out of McKamey. So I'm more disappointed, because what I hate to see is a young man who has a lot of talent and potential not realized. Because before you know it, 4 years are up, and then you're scratching your head like, you know, darn, I wish I would have taken care of my business when I had an opportunity.
And Mike Davis will have that same conversation when he leaves Illinois, too.
He will, too, because Mike Davis reminds me so much of Marcus Camby, not as tall.
How about Brad Sellers, too? A little bit like Brad Sellers.
A little bit, but more like Marcus, because the athleticism is there, the shot blocking. You know, like Brad, who's a very good friend of mine, to shoot the 15-foot jump shot, but I just don't see the drive to be the best that he can be all the time.
This is very painful for me. We've been analyzing our team all season, and it hasn't been fun. Let's move on and look ahead to the Big Ten and the NCAA tourney. Of the 4 teams, Ohio State, Michigan State, Purdue, Wisconsin, which one do you see possibly going the furthest?
Well, if you look at it today, I think Ohio State, from the perspective of they have 5 players that understand their role. Four of those players are very versatile. What Ohio State was able to do was figure out a way to make things easier so Evan didn't have to carry the load doing everything. And once they figured that out, along with a very good strategic move by Thad Mata, really implementing the zone defense a lot more, even though he likes to play man-to-man, they were able to stay out of foul trouble. and save the legs, so to speak, of their guy. So they have really great potential, and Evan Turner is just unbelievable, okay? Unbelievable. Wisconsin, you better watch out for. John Lohr is back. John Lohr, before he got hurt, was a first-team All-Big Ten player. Potential maybe conference player of the year, too, with the way he started to play. You saw the last couple games he's played. I mean, he adds so much. Mm-hmm. And because of the way Wisconsin played, great backcourt with Bohannon, Jordan Taylor, Trayvon Hughes. Nankinville was the guy that probably benefited the most and improved the most with Lohr being out. And now you put Lohr back in that lineup, you better watch out for Wisconsin.
You know, Lohr's a tougher kid than I thought, too. He showed that to us on Sunday.
Oh, yeah, he showed it. But that's the O-line system. Think about how many of the guys that are not your highly recruited players have gotten better and become first-team All-Big Ten players in that system.
Every single stinking guy, pretty much.
I mean, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And now look at the level ball they're playing. You contrast with a Purdue, you lose a great person. Forget the player, Robbie Hump. Great person. Kind of that glue guy that does a little bit of everything. Each one more may have had a better statistical year, but he's the guy that holds it together. How do they recover from that?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's tough to lose a player like that late in the game and make up for it. It's different if it's early. You can make your adjustments and flow with it, but it's late in the game. So they have some issues they have to answer. Michigan State is that X factor because you know in the month of March what Izzo does. And if Raymar Morgan plays like he's done over the last three games, Darrell Summer steps up his game, the way Draymond Green is playing, they're right there. Because mentally and physically, they're a tough team.
Couple minutes left, Jimmy. Thanks for joining in with us. When you were playing, who was the toughest guy that you had to go up against?
Steve Smith. It was Steve Smith.
And how about on the pro level?
It was some guy. I mean, I forget. He played in Chicago. What's his name? He played baseball for him, and he came back. And
you know, Boz made a reference that you had played at a lot of different places. But you know what? You were a star, and you racked up a lot of points.
You know, I was doing my homework. I was kind of surprised that, you know.
How many years did you spend in Dallas? How many years did you spend in Dallas?
5.5.
5.5. Was that your longest stop?
Yeah, that was my longest stop.
And what was your point total at the end of your career? Not that you'd know.
I think it was in the 14,000 maybe.
14,000. That's a lot of points. It's a lot of points.
Yeah, absolutely. And here, I'll give you some good stats here. Hold on one second, you Mr. G. Well, did you mentioned Steve Smith. Do you recall you were traded for him?
No.
August 2nd, 1999, traded by the Portland Trail Blazers with Isaiah Ryder.
To Atlanta.
Atlanta Hawks for Ed Gray and Steve Smith.
Steve Smith, yeah, correct, right.
There you go.
And I'm sure you tell Smith that Atlanta got the benefit of the bargain there.
Yeah, I don't know about that. He went out to Portland, they were in the playoffs, we weren't. So I think it worked out better for him than me.
No, in your heyday with Dallas, 93-94, you were ninth in the league in field goals.
Where was he in field goal attempts?
Seventh in field goal attempts. Seventh in three-point made. Seventh in 99-2000, seventh in free throw percentage, and 93-94, first in turnover. So, you know, you had a
Hold on, you forgot one important stat.
Which
94,
one?
94-95, fourth leading score in the league. You forgot that now. You got to put that in there if you're going to put all
the right, well, I'm looking at, we'll have to contact basketballreference.com for somehow they, you averaged 25 plus a game that year, right?
No. Yeah, and they couldn't count the full thing because I got hurt 51 games in the season. That's
Now, Jimmy, what makes Buckeye fans so passionate? Is it there's nothing else going on in Ohio, or what? Tell me the truth.
It's just something about the universe, and every university has it. I mean, you know, every university has it, but it's something different about Ohio State, and I guess that's what drove me there because I never really wanted to go to Ohio State.
Where'd you want to go?
Syracuse and North Carolina were my top two schools. But when I took the visit and I understood the enormity of what it meant to be a Buckeye and how that will benefit you after your playing days are over.
You can tell us why you really went there. It's okay. It's no one's listening.
That was it, right? Yeah.
Now, Jimmy, would you say that, you know, to an Illinois kid who lives in Chicago, grows up in Chicago? Because I've always asserted that by coming back to Chicago, if you're going to do that after your career's over, the Illinois mafia in Chicago is strong enough where you'll benefit in business there as well.
Exactly. And that's what I tell a lot of kids to keep in mind, that if you're in a state that has a very big school program, like, you know, Penn State, Michigan, Illinois, Ohio State, think about the benefits you have if you take care of your business when you're in school, okay? Develop a lot of those contacts. You come back. You're from there. Your name is there. People recognize you. How that plays later on in life. As a young kid, you don't think about it. But for me, wherever I play, there's been a lot of places, but it's been a contingency of Ohio State Buckeyes that I've met. So the best thing that ever happened to me in my career, yeah, I played in a lot of places, but the contacts that I was able to make and all these stuff, they're now, I'm reaping the benefits of that in a business perspective because a lot of them were Buckeyes.
Actually,
so
I think
with Phoenix, you know, wherever, I can reach out to those people from a business perspective because I played there and they're Buckeyes.
I actually think you do business with one of my brother-in-law, Steven Edelson.
Yes, right. You know it.
and by the way, here's what I want to have happen.
We're sorry, Jimmy.
I want to have you and Kendall at my house. Kendall's a friend. I've got an indoor half court. I want to see once and for all you guys go against each other. Who wins that game, Jimmy?
What do you mean? why would you even ask that question?
Yeah, I thought he was going to say Kendall who?
You know, Kendall says he's going to be dunking left-handed on you all game long.
They ain't going to happen. he didn't do it when we played. So. But, you know, the great thing about it, we competed well, and I brought this to Kendall my freshman year. I said, Kendall, you remember the game you guys came to Ohio State and play, ESPN. No, we won that game, and all y'all lost, and I had 28 too. Remember that, buddy? I told him that, right?
He probably said that Bardo was guarding you.
Yeah, listen, and I brought out the newspaper article at the Big Ten Network. He was like, oh, I found out, whatever. But Kendall and I played together in Jersey and in Miami and developed a great friendship because I watched that Illini team destroy Ohio State in 89. And I was just sitting there mesmerized like, what is going on here?
You know, that was a very fun team to watch, one of the most memorable teams.
It was unbelievable.
And your team as well, when you guys went to the Final Four, give me your starting five on that Ohio State team.
It was my junior year. Probably our best team, though. Our best team was my sophomore year with myself, Craig Lee, Perry Carter, Mark Baker, Jamal Brown, and Chris Jen.
Yeah, Chris Jen.
That was probably our best, you know, six player. You know, so my junior year, Lawrence Thunderbird came in and joined us, and it was
transferred from Indiana, right?
Yeah, Lawrence, Jamal, Mark, and myself.
Jimmy Jackson, fourth round NBA pick, not fourth,
fourth
round,
overall.
Fourth pick in the 92 draft.
Remember, Jimmy, that's Boz talking.
Fourth pick in the 92 NBA draft behind Shaquille O'Neal, Alonzo Mourning, and Christian Laettner. Not bad.
Not bad. I was just happy to carry that bag, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not bad. Jimmy Jackson, Big Ten Network, thanks for coming on and talking Illini.
Big Ten legend, really. Big Ten legend.
Big Ten legend. We'll see if he makes the 50 icons.
Big props to you, Jimmy. Big props.
Silverman told us he's going to have his hand out walking around the office, all you guys, if you want to be on that list, man.
I think I'm self-promote myself.
All right, Jimmy, we'll catch up with you. Thanks much.
Have a good one.
Jimmy Jackson, talking Illini with Boz, Mr. G,
Boz,
and Lindsey
Willey.
Why
don't you tell them a little bit about our sponsors right now?
Our sponsors, Joe Rizza Auto Dealerships. How many dealerships do we have?
14 dealerships, RizzaCars.com.
And
Chicago Pack Athletic Club.
Chicago
with
Pack?
Yes, with locations in the West Loop, Lakeview, Lincoln Park, and Evanston.
And this is off the top of their heads, folks. They're not reading any copyright here. This is off the top of their heads.
And Wildfire. Steaks, Chops, and Seafood. Best restaurant in the city. Downtown Chicago on Erie, Oakbrook Center, Lincolnshire on Milwaukee Avenue, Schaumburg, Illinois, Glenview, and for those Illini fans in Eden Prairie, Minnesota, Atlanta, and McLean, Virginia, Wildfire is there for you, too.
By the way, watch out when you're driving in Eden Prairie. It seems like the cops are always picking up Viking players after they leave some restaurant or establishment there.
Okay, we're going to take a quick back. We got a quick break and come back.
He's not reading that part either.
We got a lot to talk about. We'll be back in a moment talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G.
You'll find the car you want at RizzaCars.com. RizzaCars.com.
It's true. You will find the car you want at RizzaCars.com. Over 6,000 new and used cars, trucks, and vans available online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's so fast and so easy. RizzaCars.com is your one-stop auto purchase resource site. Build a new vehicle. Compare up to 5 vehicles at once. Access new vehicle reviews. Take a new car video test drive. RizzaCars.com also offers easy-to-qualify online financing, which helps to make your purchase simple and fast. Shop 13 new car franchises, including Ford, Chevy, Cadillac, Buick, Lincoln, Mercury, Acura, Porsche, Kia, Hummer, and Saab. So if you're tired and frustrated of driving from dealer to dealer, just remember,
you'll find the car you want at RizzaCars.com. RizzaCars.com.
Hey, Illini fans. Looking to win in the game of real estate? There's never been a better time to buy a new home. Interest rates are low, there are plenty of homes to choose from, and ultimately real estate is a great investment. Greg Fisher of Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage is experienced, professional, and dedicated. As your realtor, Greg can help you find the perfect new home. Contact Greg today at 847-681-4173 or learn more at gregshouses.com. Buy or sell with the man who knows his X's and O's. Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage is owned and operated by NRT LLC.
Step back in time when going out for dinner meant something really special. Step into Wildfire, a steak and chop house with the aura of a 1940s dinner club. Private and semi-private rooms offer a variety of options for any social or business event. Order from our supper club menu served family style. Try our horseradish crusted filet mignon or Wildfire's delicious cedar plank salmon. Dine at any of our 8 Wildfire restaurant locations. Visit us on the web at wildfirerestaurant.com to find the location nearest you. Never do today what you can put off till tomorrow. Now, that's not exactly the saying, but it seems like people would rather have a root canal than do something about their finances. That's what AXA Advisors is all about, working with you one-on-one so you'll have a financial plan for the things you want tomorrow. AXA, financial protection. For more information, call Stephen King, financial consultant, 224-554-8053. That's 224-554-8053. Securities and investment advisory services offered through AXA Advisors, LLC, 212-314-4600. Member FINRA, SIPC.
A tool for people to connect with the universe and begin to understand it.
TalkZone.com, Internet Talk Radio. You're talking Illini on TalkZone. Now back to Boz and Mr. G.
We're back, talking Illini, Boz, Mr. G, Lindsay Wilhite of the Daily Herald. This is Talking Illini on TalkZone.com, and if you want to talk to us,
Boz, why don't you give our number, and the next person who calls in will give you a Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G shirt.
888-463-6748, or you can email questions and comments at talkingillini@yahoo.com. At about 5:30, 5:35, we're going to Mark Silverman, president.
Lindsay had this personality. He comes out, and here he is. He's just...
Well, that's why... How'd you get invited anyway to that thing in Indy?
Just a diversity thing?
They needed a big pasty guy?
Yeah,
is that it?
Graying, pasty. Yeah.
from a small metropolitan newspaper, yeah. Right?
They sent out an email, and you know, if you're there's a handful of people on their list. I've been voting in the AP poll for 9-10 years, so I guess maybe I'm on an elite list somewhere, and so I volunteered, and they said, darn straight. Come on down.
All right, well, we'll get to that after the hour. We're going to break in about 10, 15 minutes at 5, and then we'll get to Lindsay's experience in Indy with the selection committee.
Lindsay, but, how tall are you?
I'll go 6'3", maybe 6'4", with the thin with the furrow, yeah. But, speaking of that,
well, okay, what movie was that, boss?
Just in case Bardo is listening, which hopefully he is, back in the day, I'm the same age as Bardo. The Flying Illini finished playing in 89. It's like a month later, and, you know, the fellas aren't going to class. Well, maybe they're going to class, but it's afternoon, so they're...
Say it ain't so.
So they're showing up at Impey. Bardo, the immortal Rodney Jones, Nick Anderson, Irvin Small, Marcus Liberty.
Larry
By the way,
Smith,
I saw Marcus Liberty pound a dude in the face. A 5 foot, a Bosley-esque person trying to take a charge in a pickup game at Impey.
Not a good
Liberty.
Idea.
Probably
not,
right
not
under
a,
the basket,
not, yes,
too.
Messing with my meal ticket.
Yes, not a good idea. But so I get in a game.
So he got up and punched him in the face?
He went after him, and deservedly so. I get in a game. I'm the tallest guy on my team. Bardo's the tallest guy on his team, so we're matched up. I come down three straight possessions. I bust, you know, 15, 17-foot jumpers. Because he's not really guarding me.
He doesn't respect you.
Well, he doesn't respect me, and plus he knows he can take over a game whenever he wants. Yeah. No one really cares. I get the ball the fourth time. He comes right up in my face, just kind of smiles, little Bardo laugh, and nothing. The end. It's one of those things. When I was younger, I could play well enough that I could at least be in a pickup game. You don't ruin their game. I obviously wasn't anywhere close to those guys, but. When they decided to start playing, there'd be some point in those games where the players would start trying to play, and you realize that, wow, are these guys unbelievable
players. You're just there to set a pick for somebody.
And I'm mostly just there to go stand the hell out of the way. So,
Boz, let's see if you could get the movie reference, 6'7", 6'9", with the afro.
I have no friggin' idea.
No Fletch? No yeah. Chevy Chase? No. It's 6'5", 6'9", with the afro.
Yeah,
no?
Maybe that's it. But, you know, yeah. Boz did see Rocky.
Really? And that's the most recent. You sound like me after I started having kids. I saw a movie once in 2002. And
I fell asleep. I don't know if it was one or two. That's how good my date was.
It's unbelievable. I could have like a cardboard cutout here who would know as much about movies as Boz does.
I saw him.
But
I
he knows everything
remember.
About sports. He attends more sporting events than I do, I think. I got a text you like at Northwestern one day in the middle of a game.
Yeah.
There I am in section, you know, look up at midcourt the other side. It's UC and Northwestern versus Florida Gulf Coast.
If he were wearing the multicolored wig and the John, what was it, 323 on it, he'd be everywhere.
You could make
a career out of that.
I couldn't
boss.
Find him initially because he didn't have the big white foam finger like on the publicity photos.
Yeah, on our website there. But, all right, so let's go back to our team. I got a few questions. You know, it was so painful Sunday, that episode at the end with the coach and with McCamey, but I might be the only one who feels a little something for McCamey. I don't know. You were there. You'll tell us. You were sitting right there within arm's length. Did he really intentionally bump him, or was it close quarters?
The weird thing is I didn't see – I looked up because I'm writing down, you know, timeout, intentional foul. I'm writing stuff in my notebook, and I look up. And I see McCamey being pulled back on the court. So then you see the talking to and the subsequent talking to on the bench, and then Jaron's talking to him on the bench. But then we heard that there had been a bump or something. So we're rewinding the tape on ESPN 360 in the press room afterwards, and they show the overhead angle, and you think, well, yeah, he probably did it, but it looks close enough that it's 50-50 that you can't tell. Then they show a better angle. Where like a floor angle where you see McCamey deliberately, he could have easily missed Bruce if he had so desired. He deliberately initiates the contact, right. And then Bruce launches into his bleeping, you know, let's...
Okay, what movie, the head exploding, what movie was that now? Also a Wayne's World reference to Scanners, though, another movie. It was a movie reference to another movie.
My point is that this kid... I think has had, for the most part, a great season. He's first team all Big Ten. He has been carrying this team on his shoulders the whole season, and the last month or so, even, it's become heavier and heavier. And, you know, he snapped a little. But first of all, the four shot, you know, was the beginning of one of two or three bad plays.
The run. Yeah. I have much more respect for him after this season than I did even in December or January, where, you know, at the start of the game, Illinois' first possession was going to be, McKamey was going to dribble until he got to shoot a three, whether the three was there or not. I felt he was far more out for himself than worrying about how to run a team, how to help a team win. But as you've mentioned, during this run, ever since Bruce stuck his butt on the bench for a little bit, not that that had a monstrous effect.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. But I do think more often than not, they do have a more of a meeting of the minds. Dimitri Michi, we can call him. We're okay, close enough, right? We can all call him Michi.
Well, you can,
but
maybe.
No, I can't. I do, but I probably shouldn't. I'm much too old for that. He has carried this team, and he's had to do. I mean, you see the stats where he's contributed 50 or 60% of the points between his points and his assists. He has been by far the. He is Evan Turner for Illinois.
I'm an old school guy, though, and I like to think that basketball is played on both ends of the court, and this is an Iowa girls basketball. Yes, he would be a great player if this were, you know, old school Iowa girls basketball. But when you give up as many points and when you don't block out your man on either side of the court, you can't say that this guy carries anybody, because he is a plus-minus nightmare. For every great thing he does on one end of the court, he does a terrible thing on the other side of the court.
Well, I'll go with that. And here's the first play of Wisconsin in the second half. Wisconsin has the ball. Jordan Taylor, 6'1". They clear out a
He's
side
for 6'1".
Him.
He's not 6'1". He's 5'11".
Well, whatever he is. They clear out a side for him and let him back McKamey down. McKamey has two fouls. So, one, they know that he doesn't want a third foul, but two, they know he's not going to be able to stop Jordan Taylor. And three, how is it that every Wisconsin player can do everything, that Jordan Taylor, a 6'5", 11", whatever the heck he is, can go into the lane and shoot a little jump hook and be so competent? That to me, in a nutshell, explains why Wisconsin is better than Illinois and why people Illinois fans shouldn't be so up in arms that Wisconsin is a well-run. It's a little crazy to say, but they remind me a little of the 04-05 Illini team. We have five excellent starters now who can do so many different things and mesh so well together. You have three perimeter guys. I realize it's not a man-for-man necessarily, because you can't compare, you know, Nankerville necessarily to Augustine or something to that effect, but it's that sort of synergy and that sort of this is a terrific team, and Jimmy Jackson addressed that.
And you're also getting to the coaching aspect, which I got to be honest, and I talked to a loyal listener today who started jumping off the wagon more at the beginning of the year. But, you know, I'm questioning more and more, you know, Bruce's abilities, his decision-making, whatever. But back to McKamey for a second.
I got us off track. I apologize.
No, that's okay. The whole game, the first play of the game was the game. I mean, we finally ran a play with a guy going hard to the basket.
Got a screen and roll, yep, to Tisdale.
And he gets a pass. Our 7'2 junior gets a pass going to the basket wide open for a dunk to start the game, and he fumbles it out of bounds.
And there was another play in the second half where McKamey drove and flipped a pass over his head and went through Tisdale.
Do we turn the ball over more than any team in America on our first possession of every game?
Oh, yeah. Or we get a 24-second. But then
it's 35, but who's counting?
We're making the run. Oh, yeah. Okay, thank you. I get that. We're making the run.
You got the non-movie reference in that case. Yeah.
Once again, we're down big. We're making a run. We're down five. And I believe it was McKamey doing a little penetration, whatever. Hits Davis in the corner for a 10-foot wide-open shot. And he shoots
rim,
it 15 feet, you know, 5 feet too far. So,
By the way, Mike Davis shooting a jump shot looks like a Civil War veteran loading a musket to fire in battle.
So
it takes about the same amount of
time.
You
could see and feel the frustration there. Then, so he comes down, tries to do it himself.
I should have mentioned that before. I'm totally on board with that, where he's getting frustrated with the lack of... He's trying to do so much himself, but the times he tries to do things for others, it's not.
But who's giving Bruce a free pass? You said
All right, we'll get there in a second. So the wild shot, he was trying to kind of lean in and draw contact. It didn't happen, and you know, you got to understand that. Okay, it was a bad play. Then the foul, okay? Honestly, if you look at that again, the ref called the intentional foul, I believe, on the second foul.
I agree with you.
He reached in, the ref called the foul, and then...
Then he reached around his waist with both hands.
But that was like the play was dead. Yeah. He was tired about the fall down and exhaustion, and he was just trying to hold up the Wisconsin player, and I thought that was a bad call. The ref had called the foul already once, and this was like a secondary play on a dead ball.
I thought it was bad at the when I saw it live, and then when I saw the tape. If he was basing it on the grabbing around the waist, then I agreed with the call.
Yeah, but that was
a 3-on-1 run out or 4-on-1 run out or something.
Then, yeah. Okay. All right. So all this leads then to the episode on the bench, and I understand you don't want to lose authority and all that, but I just question and think, in my opinion, that maybe Bruce didn't handle it correctly either and might have gone a little too far.
I actually thought and that he handled it about as well as could have been handled when you're juggling so many variables here. Your best player, A, is frustrated. B, has just done something stupid to you. C, you still really need this game. You can't win it without him. C, you give him a tongue lashing, but you also let him return to the game. Then afterward, there's been so many post-game press conferences where Bruce has made sure to let folks know that Dimitri did not do something correct in the game, or he needs to be pushed, or you've heard all the things a million times. But Sunday he was very terse and did not get into that at all. When this, if any day would have been appropriate to shred him.
Well, that was
him,
like way too obvious.
Well, yeah. Well, see, I guess that's the thing is that, and I do think, and Bruce was also very late coming into the press room. I got to believe they sat down between the end of the game and before he came to see us. And I think Dimitri also realizes that he went over the line.
Why do you say that though? Because there's nothing in his body language, how he comported himself.
Absolutely. Wait,
excuse me. How did he say anything specifically that he knows that he messed up?
He did not talk to anybody after the game, so I cannot say it specifically. All I saw him was talking with, I assume it's his parents, his people,
entourage.
And his entourage, and he looked.
He was almost crying on the bench when he was sitting there.
And whether he meant it, and even if he was on Sunday, that doesn't necessarily mean that carries over to Tuesday.
And what was
and
Keller
Wednesday
saying to him on the bench?
Keller said to him that he understand. He says, "What did he tell me? That coach, everyone knows the relationship is shaky. It goes up and down." He said that coach wants the best for Dimitri. Dimitri just wants him to be quiet a little while and let him play. But he said Dimitri. He told him that they both have the best interests of each other at heart. So kiss and make up, whatever. But he also told Dimitri that he was more in the wrong because Bruce is the coach. You can't let
your best player walk all over you, because once you do that, you lose the respect of the rest of the team. Once you allow somebody to walk all over you, Bruce has absolutely lost this team, and he may have already.
And one of the things that if we could have gone in a different direction with Jimmy Jackson, but we can go in that direction here, is where he talks about if your leaders, if they're McCamey, Davis, and so on. What happens next year if all these guys are back? And yes, there's going to be the three new freshmen, and Bertrand gets more of a role as an actual guy. Can the chemistry and can the leadership of this change, or does it only become more of a morass? And then it trickles down to the new guys, and then have you messed it up for years to come, or can just adding some more people change the chemistry and change it?
I think he's got a real chemistry problem next year, because I don't think that Jeremy has exhibited the maturity so far that he needs to have in order to integrate himself into this team with not necessarily strong leadership but strong personalities.
Jimmy mentioned Chester Frazier. If Richmond was coming in on a Frazier team or the Darren Williams team, I can't tell you how many times I saw Darren Williams, take guys to task in practice back in the day. I think they would mold Richmond into what he needs to be. But yeah, he walks into this group, and there's going to be so many agendas, so many. I mean, playing time is going to be cut for some people. Some people are going to be losing out. How does that play out, and how does that change people's behaviors? If freshmen don't get enough time, they're going to be in a morass. If the seniors, what happens if Davis is getting 15 minutes? Who knows?
All right, we're going to take a quick break
here. Those are great questions. We'll get to them after the hour. 888-463-6748.
Again, 888-463-6748. Or email us at talkingalini@yahoo.com. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
You'll find the car you want at RizzoCars.com. RizzoCars.com.
It's true. You will find the car you want at RizzoCars.com. Over 6,000 new and used cars, trucks, and vans available online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's so fast and so easy. RizzoCars.com is your one-stop auto purchase resource site. Build a new vehicle, compare up to 5 vehicles at once, access new vehicle reviews, take a new car video test drive. RizzoCars.com also offers easy-to-qualify online financing, which helps to make your purchase simple and fast. Shop 13 new car franchises, including Ford, Chevy, Cadillac, Buick, Lincoln, Mercury, Acura, Porsche, Kia, Hummer, and Saab. So if you're tired and frustrated of driving from dealer to dealer, just remember,
you'll find the car you want at RizzoCars.com. RizzoCars.com.
The award-winning Sun Tracker Swivel Beach Chair is the only folding beach chair that swivels a complete 360 degrees. So whether you're basking in the sun or just watching the kids, you'll never need to get up to adjust to the optimal position. It's lightweight and folds to only 6 inches wide, so it's perfect for the beach, tailgate parties, sporting events, and more. Anywhere you take a folding chair, you'll want to take the Sun Tracker. To learn more or to order yours today, visit suntracker.com. Or call 888-786-8725. Sun Tracker, the ultimate swivel beach chair. A proud sponsor of Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G. Check it out at suntracker.com.
Chicago Athletic Club is the number one athletic club chain in Chicagoland, according to the Chicago Tribune. For membership info, visit their Lincoln Park, Lakeview, Evanston, or West Loop locations. Or call Pat Cunningham at 773-529-2024. Tell him Boz and Mr. G sent you and receive 1 month absolutely free. That's 773-529-2024. Chicago Athletic Clubs, another great Illini sports experience.